Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Yeah, what a banger that is. It's, of course, Millwall Tahiti. For your Friday night on Love Sport.
A little bit of a light intro, a little bit of easy listening after a tough week.
Could have had Roy Green, but no, we didn't.
We like a bit of Robert Delgado.
Could have had Rocking All Over the World. Yeah. Just to trigger some people as we start.
Interesting that a lot of people want to get rid of that and the goal music and and Hey Jude as well.
Nah, it's wrong. They're wrong.
Anyway,
what are we going to talk about? It's been a really quiet, slow news week of the day now.
I mean, we've had like proper, genuine slow news weeks where it's like, oh, Jake Cooper's putting out the bins again. So like, it's just like, oh, you know, Steve Morrison's had his hair cut, you know, hair dyed or something like that. Oh, what's going on here? Genuinely, one of the not longest, but not, I'm not going to call it traumatic, I'm not going to call it long, just call one of the most sort of heavy.
I would say, I mean, obviously we live now in the age of social media, so these things have amplified compared with the past, but as a Millwall fan of some maturity, this is not an unusual event, because every so often an event will happen at the Den and then you'll get a media meltdown in the aftermath. I mean, a lot worse has happened in the past, and the meltdown has been, you know, press focused. What we have now, of course, is a host of stations like this one, talk radio stations, and social media voices that look to carve out their own particular take on a subject of which they know little, and a club that they know little. And that what's made it for me doubly hard this week has been the kind of kangaroo court element of some of this, where people take a view on an incident that happened, and no one is saying, well done chaps for singing that song last Saturday night, far from it. But then they set themselves up as kind of judge, jury and Lord High Executioner, and it is tough to listen to. And I think the reaction of Millwall fans generally, I think you'd agree with this, Harry, has been to defend our club, because one thing people need to know out there, and I know all the Millwall fans listening to this will know exactly what I mean by this, is that when the brown stuff hits the fan, that the club forms itself into a defensive mode, and you know we will hit back as hard as we can to defend ourselves.
Yeah, apart from certain people on certain other radio stations that pour gasoline onto the fire. But moving aside from that idiot, and that's the nicest way I can put that. Realistically, I'm not going to. I can't defend. Like yourself, obviously, no one can defend what happened at the Den last Saturday inside the stadium.
Yeah.
That's all I'm interested in talking about. What happened outside the stadium is a criminal matter. Mm. And we can't really talk about that on national radio. It's not acceptable. through
other than to say that, you know, knife crime generally in this city is rampant, and that's now one more statistic in a knife crime epidemic that's going on. But I take the point. It's a criminal matter, and I'm not sure what we can bring to the party.
At the end of the day, you know, Sadiq Khan's too busy fighting Uber drivers and telling him to pay congestion charges.
Stop trying to stop Brexit.
Yeah.
Well, taking a view on Brexit when there are kids out there running riot with blades, and that is to be condemned.
But we don't have that kind of media coverage for a minority of Millwall fans doing that. But this is the problem. It's always going to be a contentious issue. I feel it's a taboo subject to even talk about and mention. Which, you know, there's been other instances this season. I feel like the media have decided to make this a Millwall issue when it's not a Millwall issue, it's a football issue. And it's happened in two high-profile clubs. It's happened in Chelsea earlier this season, and it happened at the North London Derby. I think a banana was thrown at Aubameyang, or
I mean, I was saying outside, I was listening to watching BT Sport Sunday night. The Palace were playing Spurs, and there was a rousing chorus of the Spurs song, which I won't say because we're on the radio, and it's a word that I believe is as offensive as the video that's doing the rounds for Millwall. And yet, where's the kangaroo court set up for Spurs the next day? You don't see it. And there's many incidents. Harry's pointed out a couple. We can all come up with offensive chants and offensive remarks at football, which is sad. It's not what I don't believe that you need it to create a great atmosphere. I don't think we needed it on that song. It added nothing to what was an electric atmosphere on Saturday night. And yet people seem to feel that they can get carried away and go that bit further. They seem to see that as part and parcel of the event. But as far as it's the difference in treatment, I think that's the thing. And I don't know, you're not a Millwall fan, you're a United fan, I know. But I don't know how it strikes an outsider to see this, because the difference and the lopsided treatment that we get is... it's a story of our existence.
The thing is, Nick, on this, I feel like an insider. I feel like an insider on this because I went to the game with you.
Yeah, stood next to me.
Last weekend.
And a great atmosphere.
Wow. I mean, you know, I wish we actually had a clip of your podcast, of the actual act of Millwall podcast from last week, because I literally turned around, you gave your mic to me and you said, "What do you reckon?" And I said, literally, wow, listen to the atmosphere. It was absolutely incredible. Hairs on the back of your neck kind of stuff. I actually put a clip up on social media. It's got 130 likes or retweets or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just saying, literally, under the lights, the den, wow, what an atmosphere. And you know, I'll be honest with you. I come from an Asian background where football has been in my generation, and it's what, by one or two in the generation before, by my dad and my uncle. When I turn around to people and I go, oh, they go, you know, we're going at the weekend, so this weekend I'm going to Bristol City. Oh, Bristol City, oh, okay, cool. If I say I'm going Millwall, they look at me in a funny way, go, oh, all right, yeah, fine. And the funny thing is, this is the strangest thing, is that I've got Pakistani friends, and I've got Pakistani friends who I had the conversation with on the Friday night, and they go, we're going, I go, Millwall. They go, that's a bit iffy, and I go, trust me, it's not. I said, why would I put myself in a situation where I'd feel in danger or I'd feel intimidated by fans or groups of fans or you know, these vile racist thugs, as people are going on about? Why would I put myself in that situation where I have the opportunity? Someone's basically going to come up to me. Mate, I'm not exactly inconspicuous. I'm 6.5 foot.
You're a fair-sized chap.
I'm going to stand outside the den, outside our wall. I've gone and done a tour of the club shop. I've done the club shop update, as I proudly told Nick last week. You know, I've gone and done the rounds of the den. Why would I put myself out there to be stabbed, acid attacked, called this, that, the other? I wouldn't.
You would not get that at the den.
That's the thing. That's the thing.
It has a cartoon, pantomime, villain image. And I personally think we're probably cursed with it forever. I think it's our strength.
Call ourselves the Bermondsey Cuddle Club?
That's the franchise name. It's like you lot playing the Yorkshire Red Millers this week.
Yeah, it's great.
The Yorkshire Red Millers. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, I feel like I went to that game. I felt, you know, I mean, I got the odd look when I was waiting for you outside the actual ground. I was there for about half hour. I got the odd look here and there, but not one that said, you know what, I'm going to finish up. No, it wasn't that. It was like, oh, wow, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But I'll tell you something for free. I bet if you analyse all the data of that crowd last weekend, I was probably maybe the only Asian person there.
You probably were the only Asian person. There was Marvin Williams, a former player.
Of course, was
in front of us.
He's BAME, but I was probably the only Asian person
with
there.
Kids. I presume some of his boys. I guess I don't. Or certainly from he's a coach now at Sutton, so he may have brought others from the club. They were all 10, 11 years old-ish, that kind of. And they're in an atmosphere. And yes, you are going to hear some swearing.
It's part of the course of football.
I don't think that's not a bad thing for a child to know the difference when you can and can't use such language, because that's part of becoming an adult. But, you know, yeah, it can get a bit, it can get a bit torrential.
Near the mark.
But, you know, he was there. No, people were shaking his hand, saying, you know, nice to see you again, that kind of thing. This is not a racist club, and yet this is the image that the majority of the media, I think, want to cast us in. And it'll be greatly helped if some people didn't sing silly songs, of course. But,
I mean, you know, Nick, this is what I'm trying to say. I've gone and, you know, I've spoken to my pals on a Friday night about the club, and I've said, you know, this, that, the other. Look at what I talk about, you know, a friend of the show, Michael Avery, proudly always talks about, you know, the Football in the Community Awards that Millwall was won. You know, you hear Steve Kavanagh talking about yourselves, everyone talking about Millwall do so much for such a tough community in South. It's not easy living here.
It's impoverished. It's an impoverished area of London.
And Millwall do so much for people. Millwall do so much for the BAME community. So what, you know, for me, it was like a case of we've taken, you know, 100 steps forward, but, you know, we've taken 50 back, but then another 70 because of what's been sort of, you know, chucked on the club and the sort of the fuel that's been added to the fire this week. And again, as I said to you, I wouldn't put myself in a position where I felt in danger. And if I'm honest with you, Nick, you know, we've been in contact since Friday, every day, all three of us, plus more outside. Yep. And I was standing next to you. I just heard good stuff. It was a great atmosphere. I only heard about that chant at 10 o'clock on Saturday night.
When the video came through.
10 o'clock on Saturday night.
I mean, I genuinely didn't hear it. I said this to presenter on this station early on in the week. I said I didn't hear it. And, you know, I'm not saying it didn't happen, because the video is evidence. It's damning evidence. You can't argue with it. It happened. But if we on the other side of the stadium in that atmosphere didn't see it, well, it was hardly... you know, a Ku Klux Klan rally, was it? It was a group of people that should have known a lot better and have embarrassed the club, because it's now out there on social media. And we didn't hear it.
Chaps, we're going to take a break. I'm going to invite your calls on this evening. If you want to have your say, have your say. If you don't want to, then you know, stick around and listen. It's at Love Sport Radio on Twitter, 0208 702558. Look, I know it's a topic some people don't want to talk about. Some people might get heated about. You know, I say to people, you know, come on and you know, with a side of caution as well, because
there's English law.
We exactly. We are governed by Ofcom, but we'd love to hear from you tonight. 0208 702558. We've had a tweet in from Charlie, just said, first time listener here, can I have a shout out for me and my mate Stanley, please? Yeah, there you go, Charlie and Stanley. You've been shouted out.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Yeah, 9:15 on your Friday night. This is Love Sport Radio. We're going to be speaking to Mickey, the Millwall fan on the board, Mickey Simpson, who's been a great help this week. I want to sort of just pick up on a point as well. You know, my first sort of, and I know it's very like me, but I feel really kind of part of this, you know. But my first sort of port of call was to speak to you, Harry, and speak to you, Nick. Mm. And I know you replied to me. The next morning, Harry was like straight away going, you know, it's a minority. And Harry, you made, I think, the most salient point of everyone, that at 15,000 people, there are a couple of hundred who are going to go and it's sort of, you know, become intoxicated on certain bits and pieces, and they're going to turn up and they lose all sort of faculties, if you like. And it's true.
We call them the strings here, Nick. We refer to them as the strings. They are the strings that attach themselves to Millwall when we do well, when we have an event, when we go to Wembley 2013, when we go to Wembley and storm
Let's be honest though, Harry. I mean, as soon as that draw was made, Mill versus Everton.
Yes.
I've been running the track enough times. You too. I knew that was going to be a tasty fixture. You cannot tell me that Mill versus Everton, in the fourth round of the cup, it's being played at 5:30 in the early evening.
I'd call that the danger zone.
The danger zone. It doesn't. You know, I'm not defending incidents we've described already. But it doesn't take a genius to work out that's going to be a high-profile, electric atmosphere.
I think the Met has to take a little bit of a hit over the events outside. And
I don't think they do. I think it's the TV companies.
Well, they can say no. They have said no in the past. I mean, the last time they made a mistake like this was the West Ham Millwall game at the bowling, where they allowed the pubs to be open on Green Street.
7:45 kickoff.
7:45 kickoff on a summer's night, where a Millwall fan was stabbed. And remember, it was Millwall and West Ham violence was reported. It wasn't. Yeah. You know, these are all things. All this in the checkered history of Millwall, but the media coverage remains the same. It is one sided. It's always Millwall's fault. Millwall could be, you know, Millwall could have 100 people stabbed. And it'd still be their fault.
But that game, possibly, if it wasn't for the TV, and I think you're right, that television guided the decision to kick it off late. I'm caught between two stools on that, because if you kick that off at 12:30 in a cold Sunday morning, it would have been dead in the event. You know, we've spoken about the electric atmosphere, and that was a real full-on den, traditional Mill atmosphere. You could almost touch it. Partly due to the fact that it was 5:30 kickoff, and everyone had been, partaking of light refreshment all afternoon.
Well, we certainly hadn't.
I was driving.
No, I was sober. We all had. The emotional one at Schultzy has tweeted in. And he's actually tweeted in about his son. It's a post I've seen. Unfortunately, his son is suffering from cystic fibrosis and is currently in hospital. And he actually tweeted this week, saying, "My club Millworth, so you're amazing. My son has cystic fibrosis and is currently in hospital due to a lung infection. A couple of days ago, I received a video message from Steve Morrison, and today I passed on the post. Thank you, all involved. You put a smile back on Finley's face." And it's a picture of, like, you know, a signed picture, pennant and whatnot. And he's just said, "This is Millwall in a nutcase." Maybe a nutshell, but definitely some form of nutcase.
There's a Freudian truth.
Freudian slip.
No, I agree with you completely. Thank you, the emotional one. A brilliant, brilliant message, and I really appreciate it. Matt has tweeted in saying, "At Love Sport Radio, love the Millwall show. I was in the family stand block 15 season to get hold out, and I didn't even hear it. As I've said earlier this week, I worked it out that 0.6% of the crowd were singing that. These 0.6% won't be there tomorrow because they're day trippers." And Harry, I think that's the point you've made when you talk to Strings, is it?
I call them the Strings.
I mean, it's the big game night. Big Wembley attracts them. Any kind of big event will attract.
I mean, we try to avoid the tube on certain Wembley journeys,
don't
we?
I prefer to drive, but you can't have it both ways. You can't have a great electric Mill atmosphere and then complain if it spills over a little. What you can do is deal with it, and the club have come out, again, going back to an earlier point, you know, I had a very weird debate, if I'm honest, on this station about at what point does it become a majority of fans, almost as though the club are trying to evade their responsibilities because it was a minority of fans, which is the truth of it. And yet the club have come out and said they will deal with it quite severely if they can ban anyone for life, which
is all you can do probably legally.
Well, you can argue rights and wrongs of that. But anyway, if these people are found, they will have to take their medicine quite hard. But so, as I said on the other day, it's when one person does it. Not, it doesn't need a majority of fans for it to become Millwall's issue. They're dealing with it with one person.
I mean, a lot of people have turned around to me, and you know, I've spoken on other radio stations, and I've said, you know, put simply, it needs to be dealt with. It needs to be dealt with. But that's the biggest cliche of the lot in terms of when you're talking about racially motivated incidents, and you know, and stuff like that, and. You know, when people say that, I question, you know, kick it out. And I was on the radio earlier on, and I had, you know, our very own James Gray asking me and saying, you know, well, with their budget, well, fair enough. If they can't operate, what's the point? Take it back and ask the FA, get the FA to deal with it, and get the FA to start dishing out sanctions. And you know what, one thing I'll commend Steve Kavanagh, who's been everywhere in the media this week. That man probably needs a bacon roll or a holiday or both, you know.
A large stiff drink of some sort.
Maybe he's having that tonight.
Potentially, you know. Hopefully he's having a pina colada or two and just relaxing tonight, Steve Cavanagh, because...
Probably waiting for tomorrow.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, he has been out and about all week and you know, I've got nothing but sort of respect for the fellow and the way he's dealt with it. And he's turned around on various platforms and said, we will find him. And we will ban these people. At the end of the day, it was an all-ticket affair, one. Two, it was a ticket affair with booking history. Mm. So there's got to be an element of truth with where the people are and stuff like that.
You'd hope so, but this is Millwall's, another one of Millwall's Achilles heel sometimes, that we're not necessarily known for being in the seat that you necessarily should sit in these particular cases.
No.
And I wouldn't want us to be... I know it doesn't work for this particular incident, but it's a bit of a Millwall taboo subject in itself.
I mean, as I said, and put it in these terms, I mean, whoever gets caught for this will have to take their medicine.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, and they can't really argue if they're caught on video doing it, and the club have evidence, so that will follow whatever course it follows. The question I've got for the listeners out there on a wider level is, if we accept that racist abuse is something that is a wrong, a social and certainly a legal wrong, what's the sanction? What should happen? Because there's been a lot of calls for us to be thrown out of the FA Cup from various sources. Interestingly, not for Tottenham to be thrown out of the FA Cup or any other. Macclesfield, I understand, there was homophobic abuse against Sol Campbell, and you know, there's been incidents at Shrewsbury versus Wolves. They're all still in the competition or whatever competitions they were playing in, but we've got to get thrown out. But I want to know from listeners if they've got any thoughts. Should there be a sanction? What should happen? Because it's easy to for us all to sit here and say, you know, that is a bad thing. Well, where does it take you? What should happen?
I think it's a bit of a step to start sanctioning out people when we've had... What was the game played behind closed doors earlier this season?
It was Croatia, wasn't it? Was it
for the swastika moaning into the pitch?
England, Croatia.
Yeah,
yeah. So they punished the fans by not letting them watch the fans, which also punished the other club. Or the other country in this sense of England, whose fans would have liked to have gone there.
I don't know anyone's got a simple solution to this. And this is the problem. It is not an easy subject. It's not an easy subject to talk about, and it's certainly not an easy subject to resolve. And I don't know if anyone...
I think John Barnes has got it right about education, though, because I don't...
Well, it is education, of course.
I think some of those people, I know it's going to sound naive, might not necessarily believe that's an unacceptable term. They don't see... You know, you see these videos online of stupid people not being able to... Normally it's Americans, because they're an easy bunch
like
of people.
Like Darwin Awards,
that kind of thing. Where they go, name another country, and they can't do it. And you don't believe these people exist, but they do. They walk amongst us, shall we say.
I don't think in 2019 anyone can go through this life not knowing that use of certain words is a problem. Because would you sit in your workplace and say that? No, you wouldn't, because you're probably going to be shown the door quite quickly.
Yeah, I'd hope so. I'm just playing devil's advocate on the side here, because it's interesting to see what people find offence is very personal, isn't it? It's something that you would find... I mean, we can all agree that the term they used is offensive. We can all agree that. But...
I hate being called it because I'm not it.
Yes.
At the end of the day, I'm not actually a Pakistani person. You know, that I'm from the other side of the border, unfortunately, but I get called it a lot by a variety of people.
But it's a generic abusive term. I don't think there's anyone that can't deny that.
No.
But then, again, going back to what you were saying, it's a bit like, where do you draw the line? You know, you call Irish people paddy all the time. Is that acceptable or isn't it acceptable? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, spot on. We're going to take a break. After this, we're going to be speaking to Mickey Simpson, fan on the board. Get your calls in, 0208 702558, or your tweets at Love Sport Radio.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
Yeah, thanks to Bermondsey for tweeting in. Big fan of the show, saying I was going to call in and give an opinion, but I don't want you taken off it. I appreciate your due diligence in the matter. I really, really do. Let's talk to Mickey Simpson. He's the Millwall fan on board. How are you, Mick?
I'm fine, Aaron. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, pal. Not bad. It's been a tough week. Good to have you on board. Just talk us through sort of what your week has been like.
It's been an interesting week. As you know, I mean, obviously, I've spoken to you most days this week, and you've been, you know, an absolute gentleman, to be fair, offering to help in any way you can, which has been fantastic. But you sort of, I think you've seen what the club does behind the scenes when a situation like this arises. It's, they don't just sit back and think, oh, well, you know, we're doing bits and pieces. They attack this full on. They look for who the culprits are, try and identify who the, you know, the few individuals were, what it was. Probably out of 15,500 there was probably a group of about 15 to 30 supporters who did that chant. And they will try and identify them. When they do, they will be banned for life. There's no ifs or buts. That will be it. They're not welcome at Millwall, and they're not the sort of fans that Millwall has in their club. But it's the same as everything. Rather than make an opinion straight away, you've got to evaluate what's gone on, look at everything, find out everything going along. These people made the chant. They will be dealt with. But you can't just make sweeping statements like a lot of the media have done.
Mick, I think it's been an eye-opening experience for some of our club media team as well, because some of them are quite young and they haven't seen this before. And those of us who are a bit longer in the tooth know full well how the Millwall mania, you know, the meltdown goes. But I think it's been a bit of an eye-opening experience for them, because the media has been disproportionately lopsided against us. No kind of counter story. No. It's almost been verdict first, trial later. Something out of Alice in Wonderland, isn't it?
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, I mean, I could come out and, okay, it's a criminal matter, like what Harry said. Good evening, by the way, Harry and Nick. But, you know, with the stuff that went off outside the stadium, I'm not going to make any judgment on there or any views or anything else until I've had the police meeting. Once I get a police meeting in a couple of weeks, once I've, you know, as I said to them, they can have all the time to gain everything that they need so that we can get a complete debrief. And with the other fan groups, then we'll be told, you know, things, what if anything went wrong, et cetera, et cetera. But there's no point in me coming out making a statement on stuff I know nothing about.
No.
And that's the problem. It just, all the media wants Millwall to change and tells us, oh, we're stuck in the dark ages and all that. No, we're not stuck in the dark ages. We do so much to fight racism. We do so much to work going forward. We work with Kick It Out. We work with Millwall for All. We work with the local community. We engage with every single person inside our community. The problem is the media don't let us go forward. Look at ITV this week, showing headlines and doing Millwall versus Everton, all the stuff from there. What do they go and show? They go and show a disorder what happened 30 years ago at Luton. Why keep going over the past just for the hell of it?
It's an easy story, Mick. I mean, we all know the answer to the question. We know how easy a story it is to have Millwall and trouble in the same headline. And, you know, you're right. I mean, the club does an immense amount. The community scheme does an immense amount to tackle these issues. And the credit we get for that is momentary, because when this, you know, these situations kick off, you find out who your true friends are. And there don't seem to be many out there, do there?
Maybe the one sitting opposite me right now. That's about it.
Present company excluded.
You know, you're in a Twitter spat at the moment. I mean, I can't make it, I can vow that, but you're in a Twitter spat under your feed at the moment with a certain other media bod. And the ignorance is shocking. There's no other word for it. The ignorance on what the club do, the ignorance on what the club are trying to do going forward is thrown away for a 30-second clip of Twitter. Look, that hasn't had time to be acted upon yet. You can't just, you know, what did they want Millwall to do? Wake up Sunday morning and ban everyone in Block 18?
But I mean, the Talksport Kangaroo Court. I mean, we use their name as we're on Love Sport Radio, but we talk about Talksport. That was a kangaroo court, Mick, that Steve walked into on Monday morning.
That was shocking.
Appalling treatment.
I mean, that was
disrespectful.
Hugely disrespectful, and really expected better than that from the people involved. And to come up with the name change and this and the other, you know, if you want to be controversial, that's great, but don't use a situation that's highly important and potentially has serious effects to individuals across the country. Not just, you know, the individuals that did it at Millwall will be punished regardless. What the media could be doing is trying to help identify these people so that then Millwall can deal with them, rather than blame it all on Millwall and say Millwall doesn't do this, doesn't do that. You've got no idea what Millwall does. But you want to just make that judgment there and then and say, well, because the problem is large media companies want to put these stories, sensationalise them and cause controversy around it so that it creates more impact to their sites, so it creates more revenue, so that their advertisers, everything else, clickbait, everything else. So in theory, I suppose the question is, then putting headlines in a certain way, does that glorify the subject was being spoken about?
No, it does, do it.
Mickey, stick with us. I'm just going to bring your line down a bit. We've got Tony on the line from Essex. How are you, Tony?
Hello, good evening.
Hello, pal.
Tony, welcome to the show, mate.
Right,
yeah, start by saying no one likes us, we don't care. That's what it's all about right now.
Ain't that the truth, mate?
That is absolutely the truth.
Did you hear the chanting on Saturday night? I didn't. I was over in the West Stand. Did you hear it where you were, Tom?
You're opposite it. I was in the same stand as it, and I will tell you, hand on my heart, I did not hear it. If I heard it, I'd say something, but I did not hear it.
Yeah.
I saw the video, and to be fair, I was disappointed with it. It's another thing that comes down, and you just think, why us? Why does every time we have something good go, that a chant like that goes up? But I was in that stand, and I can tell you, hand on heart, I did not hear it. I would tell you if it did. There's some very industrial languages that are there, and I can say quite often I partake in that myself. All right, you know, I do use every swear word known to man, but it's not racist. And I hear the people around me and they don't partake in that. And so I was disappointed to hear what would have been acceptable on the terraces 30 years ago isn't what's acceptable now. And so all I want to, like I said, what's happened since then, what's happened with Talk Sport Radio, what's happened with the media and the papers and where the scum of the earth and... I've been called racist. No, I can't coach children's football because I must hold racist views because I'm a Millwall fan. And, you know, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. And the people can't understand that those saying it about us are being as stereotypical and as racist as the idiot minority of the people that were singing those songs. And they don't understand that it's a detriment to them and it's a detriment to everybody. If you want to kick racism at football, you talk about it. You don't throw accusations at people and good hard working.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Proper fans, you don't throw it at them, and that's what's happened to me. And it happens every single time. We're easy. You know, Reg Burr said it. Every Millwall fan knows that we're going to get stick, we're going to get grief. There's a reason we sing No One Likes Us, and this just proves it. We beat a decent Everton team, a full strength Everton side on the pitch and in the stands and potentially outside it, which we shouldn't glorify or
No. We can't be glorifying any of that. At the end of the day, Tony, no one has focused on the fact that it was a fantastic Millwall performance on the pitch.
What's been,
let's be fair, a very lacklustre season after last year. Yeah. It was a fantastic Millwall performance. Let me just bring Mickey in. Mick, would you reckon to what Tony's saying? Obviously, you know, he coaches sort of younger kids and you know, it's kind of affecting him.
I understand it affects all of us. I mean, the first thing someone says to you, or there's a couple of things, when you say to someone, oh, you're a Millwall fan, the first thing they say to you is say, oh, that's a racist club, or that's a thuggish club. And you're like, no, it's not. Have you been there?
Well, that's their prejudice. They're equally prejudiced,
But if you know the history of Millwall, and obviously Nick can verify on this, because, you know, Nick obviously is old. But Millwall took on the NF. Millwall took on Combat 18. Millwall, you know, got rid of these National Fronts, BNP, etc., etc., when they tried to turn up at the Den many years ago and try and leaflet, try and think. Millwall don't do this sort of politics. They don't, they're not interested in it. To them, football is football. It don't matter who you are, what you are, football is football. But you get, sometimes you'll get idiots. And these idiots are in life, wherever you go. You see the videos of people on tubes, you see the people on buses, etc., etc., where, you know, they do these racist videos and stuff like that. These are just society as a whole. But in a stadium of 15,000 people, and you're talking of probably less than 100 people done this out of that, it's not Millwall, and it was shut down. I mean, you speak to people who are standing around there, and people either didn't hear it or it didn't last long. I mean, you know, the club's spoken to people in there. The club's taken action up there. The club shut down the two back rows. There were 17 season tickets there. Steve Cavanagh phoned them all personally and spoken to them and told them why he wants them to move for the rest of the season. He's not saying any of them have guilt or accused any of them or anything, just explain why. And every single one of them turned around and said it's fully acceptable and they don't want it in their club.
I'd also...
I don't think there's any fan that does. And that's the problem. The media wants everyone to believe that we do, when actually, if you actually speak to the fans, no one does.
One of the things with modern life, Mick, and Millwall's not in a position to solve this at all, but the platform that social media gives to one or two voices is disproportionate to, you know, to the actual numbers involved. You know, you see it more widely in politics that one or two people can have a platform that commands audiences, vast audiences. The problem, and the message I would send out to probably youngsters using Facebook or WhatsApp or whatever, is have a think before you post stuff on your social media account. Best of all, don't do it in the first place.
Being a keyboard warrior is sort of par for course in this era.
You forget about social media. You had a Pakistani cricketer that was giving racist abuse to a black batter.
Yeah.
You know, you get it in all walks of life, from every race and every background, in every office, in every workplace, in every church. There will be people that hold undignified, unrealistic, racist views, and it's not acceptable. And what I would say is, as Millwall fans, we're outspoken. You know, if someone had a racist view in my workplace, I'd call them up on it, and every other Millwall fan would call them up on it. You know, you get 40 or 50 people and we're tarnished with the same thing. It doesn't happen. Millwall fans are outspoken. So if you get 40 or 50 Millwall fans are outspoken and they hold racist views, then it's going to be heard. However, most of the majority of Millwall fans will call them up on it. If it happened in the pub, you'd have some Millwall fans say, hey, calm yourself down. You know, don't hold that. And they would call them up on it. And I would, it's not going to happen. You would not have that at Millwall. It's too easy to throw that at us. And I just don't understand it.
Tony, let me bring you back in, Tony. Let me bring you back in. Firstly, I want to hear your sort of reaction to what Mickey just said. Plus, I want to know, what would you do to remedy this situation now? How do you go forward as a Millwall fan? Do you think it's up to Kick It Out and the club to provide education for Millwall fans? Do you want to see points being docked? Do you want to see areas of the ground being closed? You tell me, if you were heading things up, how would you do things?
If I was heading things up, I would find the individuals that did it, and I would educate them, because if they are not representative of the club, they don't represent Millwall. And of course, no, the club should not be punished for individuals. That's like saying if McDonald's had a few racist workers, we'd close down a branch of McDonald's. What could McDonald's do, or what can Millwall do to stop individuals having ridiculous, outdated views? They can't do anything about that.
Do you ban them
if they hear it?
But you ban them
exactly. Of course, you ban them.
There you go.
Because that's not acceptable in modern society. And Millwall was a football club. If they find out who did this, which they will do, because they have microphones all over the place, they have fantastic CCTV. They work in great communication with the British Transport Police and the Metropolitan Police. When they find out who did this, they will take action and they will stop those people coming to the Den, because that is not acceptable. So what would I do with those individuals? They'd be banned from the club. Is that going to stop those individuals from having those views? Of course it's not. So are we solving the problem? No. Instead of those people doing it at a club, in a public view, they'll do it down the pub. and they're still going to hold it. And what we need to do as a society to say is, actually, what's the best thing about being in London? What's the best thing about being Millwall? Well, you're in a multicultural society. You know, everyone around the Den comes from all over the world. We're a microcosm of the entire world, and we all represent that. You know, you've got people from all over the place, Nigeria, Barbados, and we're proud of that. We've got fans from all over the world. You know, I've got support from all over the world. So you can tell us that we hold these views, but that's ridiculous. You've got some individuals that hold these views from every different background. You ban them, you tell them and you educate them that that's not acceptable in modern society to have that.
Tony, no, mate, no, fair play. I agree with you on education. Let me bring Nick, Harry and Chaps. Do you want to jump in on this?
Only to say that the club is... his track record in dealing with this issue is pretty good, and I would hold Millwall up as good as any. I mean, I don't have any figures to hand, but it is one of the leaders in dealing with this issue when it arises. We had an incident a few years ago. I mentioned it to Brian Moore earlier this week. A youngster, and I think his age played his part. He wasn't banned, but he was asked to go on a re-education course to deal with race issues. He abused Marvin Sordell, who was at Bolton at the time. Now that was felt to be the right way forwards in that particular case. These guys, as we've said a few times, will probably be looking at bans, and you know they've got no one else to blame but themselves, because the embarrassment they've caused to the club is disproportionate to the actual amount that we're involved in this. There we are.
Kick it out believes that, you know, in certain cases that people just need education. And you know, if they get banned and then Kick It Out get involved, and then it's down to Kick It Out. Kick It Out will always come back to the club. I've dealt with them over time where they come to you and they ask for, you know, an appeal hearing to speak to a fan who they say has changed and they feel that has actually moved forward and they need to move forward. Because the trouble is, yes, punish people if they're not going to change, but if people are being rehabilitated and stuff, then you've got to give them the chance. And if an organisation like Kick It Out is saying, actually, we think, you know, they've moved forward, then you've got to sit there and look at it. And you know, we work with Kick Out. I mean, at the moment, Kick It Out, the FSF, and the organisation, the diversity side of Millwall, which is Millful, they're in the process now of forming a panel of people to discuss how we move forward. How do we address...
Yeah, but Mick, isn't that forward? The point of Kick It Out? Aren't they supposed to be offering those solutions? And this is, you know...
This is
what... I mean, I challenged James Gray on it, you know, in the run-up to the Football Fan Shows tonight. You know, I challenged him and he turned around and goes, oh, you haven't seen their budget. If Kick It Out can't do the job, give it back to the FA, let the FA do the job. Let the FA recruit 10, 12 people from within, or go and recruit people and build their own version of Kick It Out and go and eliminate this problem. And to be fair,
if
I was
Kick It Out, get funding from the FA, Aaron.
Mate, if they get funding from the FA, then why am I getting from someone that their budget isn't big enough?
I mean, at the end of the day, Aaron, don't they get funding through the Football Federation, which is obviously funded by the FA and the Premier League and everything else, same as the FSF and Sports Direct, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, the funding of those is probably a different show altogether, mate. But, I think, you know, do they need to do a bit more? Of course they do.
Apart from sitting behind desks and releasing statements and condemning these actions... Let's be fair. No, Mick, this is my view. This is not your view, might not be someone else's view. If I was Kicking Out right now, this is what I'd say to Millwall Football Club. I'd say that ahead of next season, when your supporters sign up for a season ticket, they are sent a link to a movie or a film in regards to racial education, or that courses are put on at the Den, or whatever. You know, that if you want to do education, we do it properly. I've seen people this week coming out to me going, no, they need to have points, they need to have this, that, the other. It's too late for education. It's never too late for education. Mick, we're going to have to leave it there. Tony, great call. Thank you very much, pal. Call us again as well, by the way. You know, when we're actually talking about football, it'd be great to hear from you. Mickey, brilliant as ever, mate. I really, really, really... appreciate your input on that, and you know the work that yourself and Steve Kavanagh are doing, and you know, again, I said to Mickey earlier on that there's a comedian who an Asian comedian who put that out, and I spoke to Mickey, and Mickey said invite him to Millwall, and I would
say to anyone, I mean, I've met you, we've been to a couple of games now, I would say to people I meet at work of different backgrounds, come down the den. You know, exactly. You probably enjoy yourself, and you know, apart from the football sometimes.
Exactly. Get yourself some jelly deals. We're going to take a short pause because we're very, very late. This is Love Sport.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Actually, going back to football, and Preston North End have taken on Frank Lampard's Derby. Can I just say, by the way, how refreshing it is to see them on TV?
Who? Derby
Frank
County?
Lampard's Derby
County. I don't see an awful lot of them.
I never see them on TV.
That's their new name, isn't it?
Frank Lampard's Derby County. I never watch them on TV, ever.
Just wait till they visit the Bermondsey Lions. That's going to be a real
big the Bermondsey Lion franchise.
No. The Cuddle, the Southwark Park,
it's
Cuddle
Southwark
Club.
Southwark Park Road.
Cuddle Club.
Royals.
The Southwark Park.
Rebranding. I mean,
I like how we've touched on this in the last 12 minutes of the show. But that was, without that, on a long line of stupid Millwall ideas... That's up there.
It does have
the new Bermondsey
provenance. It has provenance because back in the 70s, Gordon Jago was Mill manager at the height of the hooligan phase in the 1970s, and one of his ideas was to change the name of Coldblow Lane to Sunshine Avenue. And change the name of Millwall Football Club to Lewisham Lions, I think it was.
Sunshine Avenue. Yeah,
because he's got all sorts of connotations.
Can I just say they should have called it Electric Avenue and go, we're going all right. Down to...
We're not allowed to enjoy ourselves.
Oh, that's true.
Didn't you hear the Everton fan call into another rival radio station saying that we were egging them on by playing Rocking All Over the World after we won?
Yes! Yeah,
it was the most...
They're playing that music!
It's the most cringeworthy thing I've ever heard. Other than, obviously, what the other bloke said on the other radio station.
So yeah. This is actually, you know, I'm quite pleased he said that in one thing, because I've always had this idea of doing this podcast, and there's actually an American sort of podcast company who are willing to back it, which is to do, you know, the classified football results, but all the teams' names have to be substituted for American franchise names. So like Fulham become the Fulham White Badgers, or no, the West London White Badger franchise. Chelsea are the West London Blue franchise, or the West London Oil franchise or something like that. Arsenal are North London Red, Tottenham are North London White. Man United are the Manchester Red Devil franchise. So, you know, it works.
What would Millwall be?
Well, the Southwark Park, like the Bermondsey Lions. Or
Bermondsey Lions.
The Bermondsey Blue Lions. You know.
I don't think it's going to
fly,
it?
Personally.
No. I mean, I would even accept to a point. You know, we were making a joke not so long ago when we had Cafinha in. Is it Cafinha? The World Cup for countries that aren't countries.
Oh, Conifa.
Yeah. Conifa, there we go. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. They were in here, and I was talking about, you know, when we got bought out by New Bermondsey by Lewisham's development. Yeah. I was going to call, we're going to have our breakaway country called New Bermondsey.
Republic of New Bermondsey.
The Republic
well,
of
like
New
Yorkshire
Bermondsey.
Is.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been muted, I suppose, but it was a strange decision for that young man to do that on that particular morning.
Shall we mention, before we close, only got a couple of minutes, what a great performance it was to beat
Should we mention the football?
Because, you know, in the midst of all this nonsense and this hysteria and biased reporting, there was a fantastic performance by an under-strength Millwall team. That wasn't our first choice 11 that we played against them.
I feel quite guilty for lambasting Murray Wallace. I mean, my ideas were,
JCB.
I said he was a poor man, Scott Malone.
He's not even a poor man, Scott Malone. He's a poor man's Tony Craig. But,
you know, but talk about find yourself in the right place at the right time.
Let's all be honest. It's all about Juicy Jake, isn't it? Juicy Jake Cooper. Cooper is, without that, not going to be at Millwall in the summer. I'm sorry. I'd love him to stay.
There was
but
an
money
article about his, you know, his development as a player on News at Den, and I think you're right. I mean, he's clearly the height. His ability in defence and also the danger he causes when he goes forwards.
Well, that moment when Jordan Archer had
a momentary lapse of reason, a bit like
the artist formerly known as the artist formerly known as Jordan Archer.
Amphlett's condition, that's called. Yeah.
Once one losing one's head for some time.
I mean, genuinely, I think on the WhatsApp we were saying that, you know, we saw some vape smoke to our right, but
there was
opposite us. Well, it wasn't vape smoke. It was Harry just like combusting.
Just saying Archer doing Archer things, really. I mean, that is a standard Jordan Archer mistake.
When that goal went in, you must have just been like, oh.
To be honest, I thought he'd finish 1-0. I thought that was it. We'd been all over him and we'd give him one chance from 25 yards for Carlos.
I thought that was us done for, but then to come back with Lee Gregory, I mean, that was a well-finished
I mean, that
goal
goal's vital.
Boys.
That goal, that, right the, on the timing of that goal.
What a header.
Yeah.
I mean, he lobs the England number
one. Yeah, I know, but let me think about it. Pickford's quite short for a keeper.
Yeah, I know, but he doesn't really cut. He's caught in two minds there because the Barcelona left-back, who's not that good.
Dina.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the Everton goal to go ahead, I thought was well taken. Well, you know, it was defensive.
Check
lapses.
Tossing.
Nicely finished. But then what a handball goal to get back in the
game.
It's
not a handball.
It hit him on the arm.
I know it did, but it's not proper handball.
It's like
it's got handball
Australian rules football.
Yeah, well, handball is Maradona punching it in. It hit him. It just hit him. You know,
I would take it all day long.
Of course. But how many times they go against us? I mean,
loads.
I mentioned the word housery last week. I mean, housery.
Beep housery.
Yeah, beep housery. The housery of Neil Harris has to be applauded here. I mean,
I also want to applaud the electric atmosphere that then created, because that was something physical, and I think that sustained what was a fairly average Millwall side, and, you know, without being too downbeat about it. That was not a first choice 11.
No.
And they were pulled through to the point where we could actually nick the game at the death.
Yeah.
By the effect of the crowd.
Can we do tomorrow's preview? Are we changing the side, or are we playing the same
side?
We're
playing Rotherham tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
No, we won't mention anything.
The Yorkshire Red Miller franchise.
Oh, dear.
Go on.
No, just to say that was a magnificent performance, and it's been lost in the turmoil of the week. And that's a real shame, because I think that those players deserve the plaudits, because, you know, Tony Cliff was not now, I wouldn't have thought, a first choice.
No.
It wouldn't be in my starting 11 now. And, you know, they really rose to the occasion against a team valued at, what, 200 million?
Very ordinary.
Scunthorpe buyers versus Barcelona buyers.
Very, very ordinary.
Everton were very, very average.
They need a quality manager.
Chaps, very quickly, Millwall halfway line has tweeted in. I really want to read their tweet out, because they sent it 20 minutes ago.
Okay,
very late. Saying, at last, already the chanting was wrong and racist, and we will not minimise it. However, let's be clear, a rise of racist incidents is a football-wide problem, making a special example of Millwall is bottling, taking on the wider issues that implicate big clubs, in brackets Spurs and Chelsea. Regarding the violence, this was a Millwall and Everton problem. Common theme, protect the Premier League brand and throw Millwall to the wolves. I think that's a very, very, very,
nice
very,
summary.
Very,
yeah, very, very nice
good summary. Wow, chaps, that was the fastest hour of radio I've ever done.
I did an agenda. We only didn't get off point one.
Didn't expect anything else, to be fair.
No, me neither, pal. Me neither. Best of luck to the Bermondsey Park Lion franchise tomorrow.
Senegal Fields
Lions tomorrow. How's it going to go?
1-0 Millwall.
I fancy us tomorrow, yeah. I think we'll get something tomorrow.
Yeah, I think
1-0, 2-0, something like that.
I'm going 2-1. Thanks, Paddy, for pressing the buttons tonight. You've been majestic as ever. I'm back Monday night from 7 when we talk all things Arsenal. Have a great weekend. Saturdays are for football. Bye for now. Let 'em come, let 'em come, let 'em come. We'll only have to beat 'em again. It's the best team in London, no, the best team of all. Everybody knows us, we're called Millwall. Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears.
Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.